Deuteronomy. This is from chapter 23, and we start at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. No Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute. You must not bring the earnings of a female prostitute or of a male prostitute into the house of the Lord your God to pay any vow, because the Lord your God detests them both. Do not charge a fellow Israelite interest, whether on money or food or anything else that may earn interest. You may charge a foreigner interest, but not a fellow Israelite, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you put your hand to in the land you are entering to possess. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. If you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat all the grapes you want, but do not put any in your basket. If you enter your neighbor's cornfield, you may pick the ears with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing corn.
So what do you make of that? Inspiring words, aren't they? You just came this morning to church to be able to listen to that and be inspired and blessed. Okay, you can now go home and say, wow, the scriptures really have meaning for us, don't they? But this is part of a much bigger picture of God wanting to let people know what he's like. And he wants to bless you. The biggest thing I can say is God wants to bless you. It's in the middle of this little section of scripture. He wants to bless you. He's all there ready to do it. The whole tenor of this passage is undergirded by this precept of God wanting to bless you. He's on your side. He's for you. You wouldn't believe that if you hear some preachers who seems to be telling you about your sinfulness and how miserable you are as sinners. God wants to bless you. In fact, if you miss the idea that God wants to bless you, you miss the point. It's not just a series of random rules about living within God's kingdom or in the promised land. It actually says he wants to bless you with everything you attempt. Unfortunately, we've translated two different Hebrew words. I'm sorry to do this, you know, but Hebrew is, you know, a difficult language. But there's two words in Hebrew which are translated to bless. The first one, Asher, is to make you happy. And often, people think that's what God wants for us, to make us happy. And you've all, I certainly have been in one of those discussions with a teenager who's slamming doors saying, don't you want me to be happy? As if it's, you know, just do things for me then, mum and dad. Give me money, give me clothes, give me everything I want because that will make me happy. No one else had that argument. Or is that just my house? Well, you know, they've grown up now and they've learned that dad doesn't make you happy. Because when he screamed that at me, I screamed back at him. And I know I shouldn't have screamed, okay? But I'm not the perfect dad. And I just screamed back at him, no! I want you to be good! I don't know where it came from. But there was that poignant moment when we both realized that there was a God moment. I want you to be good. Because when you're good, you're happy with yourself. And you don't need me or anyone else to make you happy. Because if you chase happiness, you never get it. You always want something more. So one is Asherah. It's used in some of the Psalms and Proverbs. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1, how it starts, the beginning of all the Psalms. You're going to be happy if you do this. That's the Asherah word. It's not used that much, but it is used. But far more is the word Barak. That's also used. And it's rooted in the word to kneel. God kneeling before you. Now, I did get it the right way around. God kneels before you. He's so chuffed with his creation, with you. He's like a proud dad or mum marveling at a newborn baby with a mixture of love and pride and wonder. I made that. You've had children, okay? There was that moment when they were first born. Wow. I mean, you did two things. You marveled and you gulped at the responsibility. Don't forget the marveling, because that's you reflecting what God thinks of you. Wow, I made that. Isn't she wonderful? The creator and sustainer of the universe wants to kneel before you because he loves what he has created so much. He is so proud of your complexity and your capacity to reflect who he is. And in that position, he wants to give you gifts to honor you. This is a picture of God with you. Doesn't that make you feel good? That's what he thinks of you. Despite all you've been through, despite all that's happened to you, despite everything that you've done, this is how he thinks of you. As a father with a newborn. And he's so proud. And he's given you that capacity to show family likeness to the world. That capacity to love like he loves. And he wants to give you gifts to honor you. He made you in his image, and he wants you in this world, in this place, in your situation, and at this time. When God did creation, he blessed them. He blessed the animals, first of all, and he said, go and multiply. The word was Barak. He kneels before them and he goes, wow, look what I did. And then he blessed human beings in particular. The man and the woman, he said, and he blessed them. And he said, wow, look what I did. Be fruitful and multiply. That's the way God looks on each one of you. Now, you may not feel like that. You may feel as though your dad has got a dirty big stick because you've done something wrong. Or because you've loused up in life, you think that God is distancing himself from you. And he doesn't. He's a gracious God, a loving God, a forgiving God. He tells you that in the parable of the prodigal son. Ones that have gone away, spent everything they've got, and end up with the pigs. And there's a longing father desiring you to come home. Because this is the image that we have of God. Isn't it crazy that some people try and tell us that God has got a big stick? That God is very angry with everybody all the time. when this is the picture that we have given. Jesus used a translation of that mixture of words in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy, but also reflecting who God is. Bringing peace. Bringing hope. Bringing calm. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because you let God in. Blessed are the merciful, because you are reflecting who God is. So this is your picture in these passages. And then he says, do you want to reflect who I am? I'm going to need your cooperation. I'm going to need you to come in and help me show the Father, show the image of the family. It's not all, oh, you're just growing up and look like your dad. You're growing up and being part of the family. So there's some cooperation that needs to happen, and that's what's going on in this passage. Your compliance to his will and his ways, rather than you kicking against the goads, as it was told to Paul. You know, he was a religious man who went about doing things in a way that he thought God liked. Persecuting the church because they were doing it wrong. And when he encounters God in Jesus, he says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads because everything was pushing you in a different way and you've hardened your heart. Because the God who loves you wants to warm you up, not harden your heart. He wants you to become the person that he intended you to be. And so there is in this, not your cooperation in accepting who you are in him. Who am I in Christ? I am uniquely made. There's no one quite like me. Aren't you glad? And there's no one quite like you. With that mixture of DNA, which is really complex, and experience molded together in your brain, in your experiences, in your synapses, to make you, you. With the ability to engage with God and become all that he intended you to be. He wants to bless you. Are you going to kick against the goads and try and become someone you're not? Or are you going to work with him? That's what this is about with these little rules. If you just stick to the little rules, you miss the point. Accept who you are in him, because God's call is on all of your life. We preach and teach that his grace and presence are to be brought into your work life and your home life as well as your worship. We try and preach that every week, don't we? You know, it's not just, it doesn't matter what's happening here as much as what's happening in your home, what's happening in your work, what's happening in your family. It's got to spread out somehow. What you say matters to the kingdom of God. What you do matters to the kingdom of God. How you treat yourself matters to the kingdom of God. How you treat other people matters to the kingdom of God, especially those you know, your family and your kin. But that's not quite true, because it gives you the impression that you have to bring God into your world. And actually, the opposite is true. God's kingdom has Jesus at the center, and it's surrounded by God's values. The world is different. Some of God's values are in the world. It's not a totally evil place. But some of them don't reflect God's values. The way we treat the foreigner, the stranger. So some of them, like truth and honesty, we like those in business. Integrity and faithfulness, kindness and generosity, respect and honor. Kindness and love can be found in values in all walks of life. But some values don't. The white lies, the half-truths, the stealing from those who can afford it or won't miss it, ignoring the needs of the poor. Me first, mine second. Greed, hoarding, selfishness, treating people like servants or slaves or non-people. Those aren't kingdom values. Each person has their own mix of kingdom values and world values. You have what you value most, what you value least. You have your own way of looking at life. And when you become a Christian, when you say, I want to be part of God's kingdom, because that's what a Christian is, someone who accepts Christ as king, then you move into God's kingdom values. And you stand out more. Often when someone becomes a Christian, they go through a crisis of sinfulness. I think they don't fit in. Because suddenly they're looking around and saying, these values are not my values. Something's got to change. And the Holy Spirit comes in to you and to me and gradually changes us so that our values are more like his. It won't finish, you know, after a year of being a Christian. Some of us are still struggling with those values. Some of us still have that selfishness within us. None of us are perfect, and we won't be perfected, although some theologians think we will, before we get to heaven. You're a work in progress, and so am I. That doesn't give us an excuse to keep hold of those old values which aren't in the kingdom. They're saying, I'm a work in progress. So I have got no right to be proud in the kingdom of God. Because you can see the planks in my eye. These are kingdom values that Moses is preaching about to the children of Israel. And he's saying, God has rescued you. God wants you to be one of his people. God wants to bless you. He wants to kneel before you and say, wow, I did that. And he's asking for you to cooperate with the Spirit and become more like a kingdom person. And if you do, you will not be able to look at someone else and say, but they're less of a kingdom person than I am. You will not be able to look down your nose at them until you've become Christ-like in all your ways. You and I are works in progress, and God loves us. For the Holy Spirit that was in us, for the work that Christ has done for us, we move towards, and grace transforms us into kingdom people. People with kingdom values. People with pure worship, verse 17. People with clean money in verse 18. People with generous help in verses 19 and 20. People with who've got dependable words in verses 21 to 23. And people who are grateful in their sharing in verses 24 and 25. Kingdom values. Let people take your crops a little bit. Don't be walked over. But let people share in things. We look after runaway slaves. We consider what our bodies and sex were for. We see needy people as kin and seek to help them rather than profit from them. We want our words to be our bond because integrity matters to us. We want to be fair to everyone and not take advantage of them. We think about how we earn a living and whether it is God-honoring, because these are kingdom values that reflect who God is. We even want to use sex as the gift God intended it to be and not as a means to a different end. We're not trying to drag God into our world. We're bringing ourselves and our bubble into the kingdom of God. Do you see the difference? One is a winning battle. The other is a losing battle. And God wants you to be on the winning side. Now, something that I haven't done, even though it's been mentioned a few times in these chapters, is this whole thing about sex. So for those of you that have forgotten about it, you can just go to sleep a minute. God has a purpose for sex. The biblical purpose of sex is multifaceted. God has given sex as a means of glorifying him as we fulfill its design for procreation. Making babies, for intimacy, for comfort, and for physical pleasure. You can look at Bible verses for these. The procreation is in Genesis 1:28. The intimacy is in the Song of Songs. The companionship is also in the Song of Songs, and so is the physical pleasure. It's there. You know, the Puritans thought if you were enjoying it, you were doing it wrong. But it was there, it was given to us as a gift. It was God kneeling before you saying, you'll love this. You'll love this. The two of you, just enjoy this. It will bring you together. If anyone should be enjoying sexuality, Christians should. We should know better than anyone else that sex was never intended to be an end in itself. It is intended to be a joyous celebration of intimate love. It is designed to reflect the intimate love relationship between Christ and his church. That was Ephesians 5. Using sex any other way, in worship at shrines, as a means of control, as a way of expressing self-worth or selling something, undermines God's intention. So don't try and change it by bringing the fruit of you using it wrongly to God's table. That's what this is about. He gave you it to do one thing or to do several things. Don't use it for something else. And you can apply this kind of logic to every gift of God to you. Your children, your money, your home, your spouse. Every gift that you have. The right intention. And you will enjoy it. And God will look on you and smile. God wants to kneel before you and say, how wonderful. God wants to shower you with gifts so that you reflect his glory in all aspects of your life. That's the meaning of the word bless. He wants to transform you and me from the person the world and my choices have made us into all that he intended me and you to be. He begins with loving you just as you are. And offering you forgiveness through Christ. And guidance through the Holy Spirit. Then he works on your values and your attitudes to other people, to possessions, to yourself, to your body, to your words, to the runaway slave and the prostitute, how you lend money and respecting your neighbor's property and your crops and their crops. He's going to work through you into the world. And that's the way he transforms society. But get this picture in your head this week. That's what God thinks of you. When you fall down, do you think he doesn't want to pick you up? When you fall short, do you think he doesn't want to somehow make it better? This is the God who loves you. And he demonstrated that love by sending his one and only son, who he loved just as much, if not more, I would say. And he says, you're worth it. Please take this picture home. Stick it up at your prayer time. This is how much God loves me. And it will transform your attitude to sinfulness, to falling short, to your family, to everything. Because God is a God of grace, a God of love, who wants to bless his family. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? So go and enjoy God this week.